This is week 3, class 2 of True Intercession. In your outline on page 6, we're going to pick up where we left off talking about how that in Genesis, God didn't ask, He declared, and His will took place. Look over in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were." If God does this, which obviously he does, and this is an example to us, then we likewise should be doing the same thing. We are to call or declare the things of God's will that are not as though they were. And this is where some people, again, they take issue. They say, well, I believe it when I see it. But what's God's Word said? If God's Word has made a declaration about something, then we can believe it. Likewise, when it comes to God's will being accomplished, when we're interceding, we must declare the will of God as though it already is happening. We must speak His will. And somebody would say, yeah, but, you know, I just don't understand the value of this. Well, go back to Genesis. You'll understand the value of declaring the will of God to see God's will take place and manifest. Now, this does not eliminate asking. Okay? This is where some people get off base. They say, well, you're not supposed to ask anymore. Well, now, wait a minute. Jesus said something about asking the Father in my name. Did he not? Did he not say that? And so, therefore, yes, it is proper to ask. But if our intercession is consumed with nothing but asking, it means we don't yet know what we're supposed to be declaring. Okay? Now, let me give you an example. When the next point here in the outline says, we are to ask and then declare as though it is rather than it isn't. When I'm praying, let's just use the example of, say you're praying for family, or I'm praying say for the people in the church. And I would pray something like, Father, I know that it's your will for the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened, that they would understand who they are in Christ and everything they have in you. You know, to kind of simplify it, I'm making reference to Ephesians chapter 1. And so therefore, Father, I ask this day that you work in the lives of the people of this church, you know, that I'm pastoring, that you work in the lives of the people of Grace Christian Center to help them, that their eyes be opened, that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they would know your will for their lives, for their ministry, where they fit into this church and what they're supposed to do, and just all these different things. And I thank you, Father, for working in their lives. I thank you that it's done. I thank you that they know this day more about your will. I thank you that they know this day more about who they are in Christ, and so on and so forth. Okay? So, next day, I say, Father, this day, again, I lift up to you the people of this church. And I ask that again, on this day, you continue to be involved in their lives, helping them to understand the fullness of who they are in Christ, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened. They know everything that you've made available, etc., and so on and so forth. And I thank you, God. I just, you know, call it done. I say that today they know more about who they are. You see what I'm saying? You say, well, why do the same thing every day? Well, you remember in the Bible there's a passage that says something like, morning by morning, new mercies, you know, I see, or, you know, it, I don't know if that's the exact wording. Mercies are new. I mean, that's the song, right? But it comes from Scripture. You know what I'm saying, or at least I hope you know what I'm saying. So every morning, His mercies are new, all right? Well, not really, but I'm discovering new aspects about His mercy. Likewise, it's a new day, okay? Yesterday's over and done with. It's a new day. So again, I ask you, Father, keep, you know, working in their lives. Keep being involved. Somebody comes up for prayer. And I pray for them as far as, you know, healing is concerned. Father, you know, I thank you by Jesus' stripes they were healed, you know, and I know you sent your word, healed them, delivered them from their destructions and all this other. And Father, right now, just ask that this healing manifest in their body. And I praise you, Jesus, for being their healer. I just call them healed. I call this a completed healing. And do you see what I'm saying, how I'm getting at? Instead of this, oh God, please reach down and touch their fevered brow with your healing power. Oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus. No. I'm asking, yes. But I'm also declaring His will to be accomplished. You say, well, what's the value in all of this? Well, because God's God and you're not. And you need to get Him involved in what's happening. And you, again, this whole concept will become more clear as we go through this tonight. Look over in Psalm chapter 45. Let me show you something. There's a part of this verse that I want to point out. Psalm 45. And just look at verse 1. It says, my heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. Now look at this. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Okay? My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Now think of it like this. Think in terms of God's given you His will. It's here in the Bible. If you have any questions about, well, God is healing for today, get in the Bible and find out. I know what God's will is. So therefore, I speak His will in intercession. And it's as though I'm writing out a declaration of God's will to take place in the life of that person or in the circumstances I'm facing or whatever. My tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. And so here I am. Instead of physically writing, okay, think of it this way. In the natural, your pen or pencil is in your hand, you're writing on paper. In the spiritual, your tongue becomes that which writes God's will. And so in the realm of the spiritual, I'm using my tongue to write God's will into the life, my life, the life of other people, the circumstances, the situations that I'm facing. See, when it comes to healing, and the person standing there for me to pray for them, my tongue begins writing healing into their life. See, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. God sent His word and healed you and delivered you from all your destructions. Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. You follow what I'm saying? It could be healing. It could be absolutely anything. So instead of writing it on paper, I'm writing it, spiritually speaking, with my tongue. I'm speaking forth and writing, if you will, in the realm of the Spirit, God's will. Now, you understand that literally we're not writing something, but you get the imagery in this. Look over in Proverbs chapter 15. In verse 2, it says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Boy, this is powerful. Now look at this second verse again. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. All right, let's make this relative to intercession. If I'm foolish, I will intercede according to what I think is right. If I am wise, I will intercede according to the will of God. If I'm wise and interceding according to the will of God, I'm using knowledge aright. But if I'm interceding according to what I think is right, or according to traditions and doctrines, and, oh, Father, if it be Thy will, heal Brother Bob. Well, I then fit into the latter part of this verse 2. The mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Now, this is a pretty hard indictment when you think about it. But again, let's look at this from God's perspective. If somebody's down here and they're born again, Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, but their intercession consists of the way man has taught them to pray and intercede, as opposed to what God has declared in His Word, we then become the fool, and out of our mouth is pouring forth a bunch of foolishness. And you know, a lot of people seem to think, maybe they don't really think this, I don't know, but From my observation, there are a lot of Christians that seem to think that just because they're Christians, everything's going to be okay. Well, it's not. I'm not trying to burst anyone's bubble, but it's not. You've got to be in line with God's Word. Just because, praise the Lord, you're born again. You're on your way to heaven. Hallelujah. But just because all that's true, it doesn't mean everything is going to be all right. You have to get in line with God's Word. And this is so true in the area of intercession. In the third verse, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. All right, now, you know, from God's perspective, it's a good thing to intercede according to His Word and His will. But if you're interceding any other way, it could be classified as evil. Not as, you're not declaring the, you know, Satan's will, but if you're not declaring in line, if you're not interceding and your declarations aren't in line with God's Word, you're not giving Him anything to work with. It's like, you know, getting a pile of mud and taking it to somebody and say, make me a chocolate cake. Well, they can't do that. I don't care how much sugar you add to it, it's not going to be a chocolate cake, and it's not going to taste good. You have to give a cook what's necessary so the cook can put it all together and bake the cake. If you intercede and you tell God, oh God, I am praying for, you know, whatever or whoever, and all you do is hand Him a bunch of mud, He can't do anything with it. But if you hand Him the ingredients from His Word that are His will, He's going to be able to mix it all together. And man, you talk about a cake. He's going to be able to produce for you the best cake you've ever put in your mouth. Now, you understand what I'm saying. Look in the fourth verse. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Man, that's heavy. Look at this. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Okay? Remember the illustration, my tongue writes in the spirit, God's will into the lives of people or into circumstances? Okay, here it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. So therefore, as I am interceding on behalf of somebody or something, and I'm declaring God's Word during this time of intercession, then what I'm actually doing is producing the fruit of God's will. Spiritually speaking now, I'm producing the fruit of God's will in that person's life or in those circumstances. But it goes on to say, perverseness therein, what is the therein? The tongue. Perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Now, let's see if we can illustrate this. Get the image right. I'm here. God's in heaven. Now, He and I have the same life, same nature, or, you know, the same spirit, if you will, life. Now, let's think of it this way. Let's say that there is a lifeline that connects me to God. Now, I'm not talking the Holy Ghost. I'm just our life, okay? A lifeline that connects me to God. Now, as I'm interceding and I'm declaring the Word of God in this intercession, my tongue is releasing up that lifeline His will and His Word, okay? But when I start interceding in a way that does not line up with His Word, I have created a breach in the spirit. In other words, I have severed what's supposed to be going up to Him. In my mind, I think I'm ringing the prayer bells of heaven. Okay? But up in heaven, God is saying, man, you're off track. And that stuff, it's coming out of your mouth, but it's perverseness, and it's not reaching up here. I'm not working with it. I'm not honoring it. You have created a breach in the realm of the Spirit. And I can't think of, you know, a different illustration, but just try to imagine how that everything's going fine. And you're trying to intercede on behalf of somebody else, whatever the circumstances would be. And you start interceding in a way that is contrary to God's Word. Do you understand? You're not having an impact on their life. There is a breach in the Spirit. And your tongue is not writing the will of God into their life or into the circumstances. You have breached what should be a change. But now it's not a change. Nothing's happening. And this is why a lot of people complain, my prayers don't get answered. It's because they're interceding in a way It doesn't line up with the Word of God. They have created a breach in the realm of the Spirit, and their prayers are going nowhere, out their mouth, and that's it. But their prayers are not presenting to God something that He can work with. Look over in Jeremiah 23. So we talked about the fact that intercession is helping to remove the barriers that are hindering the will of God. God has declared His will in His Word. It's supposed to be accomplished. It's what He wants done. If it's not being accomplished, something's in the way. We don't know for sure what. It could be a myriad of things, but something is hindering His will from being accomplished. In Jeremiah chapter 23, look at verse 29. It says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Now again, capture imagery here. As we declare God's will, His word hammers at the barriers. Okay? As His word is hammering at the barriers, something is happening. Now look at the couple of examples we have in the syllabus. First off, a friend is adamantly opposed to the present day operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Anybody know a person like that? Some of us may have been that friend at one time. Well, we know this belief is not of God. Now, isn't it amazing, though? Think with me now for a minute. Anybody who believes it was this way, they believe it's of God, do they not? And they believe that God has led them to accept this doctrine. But we know otherwise. Maybe we used to be like that, but now we understand differently. So we know that this is not of God. They think it is, but we know it's not. So what we do is we begin declaring God's word of truth in their lives. His truth begins hitting against the barrier of the lies. Because that's all it is. It's like they're standing behind, you know those, when they work on the highways, sometimes they have those big cement things that are about like 6 feet long, and it's like to separate one lane from the lane that they're working in. So that if you veer off, all you're going to do is hit that cement barrier. You won't hit the workers. Well, just imagine somebody being surrounded by cement barriers like that. And those cement barriers represent the lies that have told them that the gifts, they're not in operation today. So we begin declaring God's will. We begin declaring God's truth. We begin to speak forth and intercede on their behalf. His truth begins hitting against the barriers that are up around them, up around this person. And holes begin to get punched through these barriers. The light of truth begins illuminating the lies for what they are. And that's one thing about it. When God's truth begins hitting lies, it's obvious what's going on. So we're interceding, these holes, and the light starts coming through, and the friend starts to see that he's been deceived, that he's been lied to about some of these things. He begins to see that it's not always been true what he has heard. Problem is this. It doesn't mean he's going to change what he believes. You see, again, God's not going to violate the person's will, but what it does, it brings him to a point of decision. Is he going to accept truth and renounce all those years of tradition? Or is he going to reject truth and continually embrace the lies? The choice is totally up to him, but now he's accountable. Now he knows. Now think of it this way. That person is surrounded by those barriers of lies. So we're going to intercede for them. They're in another state. So how do we do that? Very simple. Father, I lift up John to you. And now, Father, you know that John does not believe in the present-day operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Doesn't believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost. You know all he's caught up in. But Father, I thank you that he's part of a church, that they do preach Jesus, and they do lead people to be born again. But Father, I really want him to understand truth. I want him to see where he's been led astray. I know the people have done their best. I know they've tried to help him, but God, you and I both know this is very wrong. So I lift him up to you, Father, and I ask that the eyes of his understanding being in, be enlightened, that he would understand that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and that he would understand that when he is filled with the Holy Spirit is going to give him the gift of speaking in tongues, and that he'll understand that when he prays in tongues, he's not speaking to men, but he's speaking the mysteries of God unto you. He's not, he's edifying himself. He is building himself up on his most holy faith. Do you see what I'm saying? And so I lift him up like this, and I say, Father, you know, your word, it's gone forth, and it won't return void. It will prosper whereunto it is sent. And so I say your word is being sent even now into John's life. And I say it is hammering against these the lies that have been spoken into his life that have built up barriers to the truth. And I say those lies are being torn down. Father, your hammer has gone forth, and it is your word has gone forth, and it's like the hammer hammering against the barrier of these lies. And I say that holes are being punched through the walls of these lies, and that your light, the truth, the light of your truth is pouring into John's life, and that John's eyes are open, and he sees the truth, and he knows that the gifts are for... All right, you see where I'm, how I'm doing all this. So what I'm doing is I am speaking God's word. I am speaking God's will on John's behalf. Now, the mistake I'll make is if after my first day of intercession on his behalf, I go to bed fully 100% convinced that tomorrow John's going to call and speak in tongues over the phone to... No. I have to believe that God's word has gone forth and it's working in his life. Now it's not going to force him to change, but what it's going to do is pound those lies to the ground. Okay? And somehow, maybe he'll be watching Christian television. Maybe he'll tune in to Christian a radio station and hear a preacher on the radio. Maybe he'll get a hold of a book or a tape. Something. Maybe he'll just be reading his Bible and all of a sudden the verse is going to jump out. And he'll say, oh my goodness. Now I understand what this verse is talking about. How come I didn't see that? Wow, the gifts are for today. We continue to intercede for him. Now, you may not get the results the first day. You may not get the results the second day, or the third day, or the eighth day, or the 30th day. But it doesn't mean that you should just stop. You're not asking God, oh God, fill him with the Holy Ghost. Oh God, fill him with the Holy Ghost. And God says, I want to. He won't let me, but I want to. Oh God, work in his life that his eyes would be opened, that he would see the truth, that he would desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just like when Paul preached to the Ephesians and he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you first believed? And they said, we didn't know there was a Holy Ghost. Well, Father, John knows there's a Holy Ghost. And now I say, like those Ephesians, he will desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And he'll desire to pray in the Spirit. And he'll be built up on his most holy faith, etc., etc., etc. That's how you begin to intercede. And you keep doing this. This is the tough part. It's the perseverance. We'll get into this later on. It's the perseverance in the intercession. The intercession consisting of the declarations more than the asking. Just, okay, again, the analogy that I used about, you know, the people in the church. The next day you wake up. Father, I ask again today that you keep working in John's life. I say the eyes of his understanding today are enlightened even more than they were yesterday. That, et cetera, and on and on. You follow what I'm saying? So yeah, I'm asking, but I'm declaring his will and his word. See, my asking is not his word. My declaring is his word. I ask according to his word, but then I declare his word. My asking is not declaring his word. I'm asking according to his word. But then I turn around, God, this is what I've asked. Now, I'm going to give you something to work with. Here, Father. The eyes of John be under open. He'll understand. He'll know the difference. He'll want this. He'll believe in this and so forth. Another example. You have a wife, you know, refusing to accept Jesus. Now what's happening is she's caught up in her own self-religious belief system, which is exactly what's going on in the life of any person who's refusing to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They can say what they want, but they are caught up in their own self-religion. Meaning, I don't need Jesus. Why not? Because I'm not the sinner you say I am. Or I'm good enough. Or I haven't committed bad enough sins. Or I'm a good person. In other words, they have created their own form of religion that they have declared is good enough for them to get into heaven. Well, we know different, don't we? He must be born again. So here we have this wife living in her own religious system. We begin declaring God's word of truth. Now, it's a different situation. We're not talking being filled with the Holy Ghost. We're talking about somebody getting born again. So we say, Father, I lift up my wife Susie to you. Now, Father, she's rejected Jesus, but I know that Jesus died for her. And Father, I know that Jesus said, you must be born again. And Father, I know it's your will that none perish, but all come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So Father, right now, I say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, may Susie come to the understanding that she needs Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Father, I say that she'll understand the difference between her religion and your truth. And I'm asking you to move in her life. Remember when Jesus prayed about, pray ye that the laborers be sent into the harvest field, okay? All right, Father, I just ask that this day you send laborers into the harvest field of my wife's life, into Susie's life, that they would speak your word into her life, that they would touch her life with your truth, that they would see the Savior, or that she would see the Savior flowing through them. Father, send laborers into her life at the bowling alley tonight as she's in the bowling league, or, you know, whatever it would be. And so you're asking, but then you begin declaring the word of God over Susie. Now again, you're not going to violate her will. You're not going to control her decision-making process. But what you are going to do is come against that self-religion that she has created. And the holes will be punched through that. And the light of truth start coming through. And she'll start seeing her need for Jesus. That's just like heard a story the other day. A woman had been witnessed to and prayed for and all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, she just would not, just did not, just refused to. Well, guess what movie she went to see? That's right. She goes and sees that movie, and that movie became a laborer in the harvest field of her life. Then the next Sunday, like this was maybe a Friday or a Saturday or whatever, but it was like the very next Sunday, they were at a church, and it was some kind of an Easter program that was put on. And at the end of the program, there was an invitation, do you want Jesus? The person sitting next to this lady said, they were friends, and said, you know, this is something. And she says, but I just don't know that God would forgive me. Wait a minute. Progress. You never talk like that before. Now all of a sudden you're thinking in terms of being forgiven. See what I'm saying? Yes, he would. Anyway, long story short, she walks down and gets born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Tremendous testimony. Well, see, the lady that went forward with this woman, I don't know, maybe she never prayed for her a day in her life. But there were family members out there who had been interceding on her behalf. And here she is today. Name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. And it was years. 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 You may have a similar situation in your family, in your life, in your home, whatever. Years have gone by. Stop pleading and start interceding. See? Stop begging and start declaring. You will not change. Remember that woman, I used the illustration? She made the decision. But the truth of God kept hammering and hammering and hammering against her self-religion until it poked holes and the light came through. And now she's thinking about being forgiven. She's thinking about Jesus. And she makes the decision. She chose. Because now her eyes were open to realize, my religion won't get me there. I need Jesus. Start interceding and you're going to start seeing results. Keeping in mind again that you can't control the will of a human, but you can alter circumstances. The circumstance of wrong belief, self-religion, and all this. Now, these examples, we could give examples for just about any kind of a situation where God's will is not manifesting. Okay, now let's take healing, because again, this is a major issue in the body of Christ. And you can, as I said before, you can use healing as an illustration for just about anything. So, I stand before you tonight. I have contact lenses in my eyes. I have worn corrective lenses since I was in fourth grade. I remember clearly what those glasses looked like. I remember clearly the first day I walked into school with those glasses. And I didn't have them on because I was a little self-conscious. And I didn't put them on. There were some of my friends, they knew that I was going to get glasses and all this other. You know, you kids, you just talk. And so anyway, fourth grade, well, yeah, I got them. Well, put them on, let's see. Oh, come on, put them on. So, okay. Oh, wow, those are cool, yeah. Well, back then they probably were, but nowadays there's no way. So from fourth grade until today, I have worn corrective lenses. Sometimes I wear my glasses, sometimes I wear my contacts. And this is not a joyous thing in my life. I don't like wearing corrective lenses. And it's to the point now, these are reading glasses that I wear with my contacts to see my Bible, okay? This is not right. I don't like this. The only difference between this, these reading glasses and my contacts, and my bifocal glasses is that my bifocal glasses are one piece. What I'm doing right now is two pieces. Contacts in the eyes, reading glasses hanging on the nose. All right? Now, I speak to my eyes. And sometimes I get a little upset with them. You will see. And you will see without corrective lenses. You will not need corrective lenses of any kind. Healing, I'm telling you, manifest in these eyes now. Manifest. Now, I don't do stupid things like some people have done and throw my glasses on the floor and stomp on them and run out to the car by faith and try to drive. No, I do not do that. I have heard those stories. But what I do is I keep speaking to my eyes, okay? Now, somebody could say, well, what if it never manifests? Well, okay, if it never manifests, at least I gave it a try. Maybe I'm not trying hard enough. Maybe I need to intercede more and declare more on behalf of my eyes. I mean, the healing hasn't manifested yet, so there's a barrier there. And I can't blame God, because I know it's God's will for me not to need these corrective lenses. So, I will continue to do this, and I will continue to speak God's will and intercede on behalf of my eyes. And I'm sure that if I were to step up my intercession, this healing would manifest a whole lot quicker. But I praise God for my healing, and I thank God for my healing, and I give Jesus the glory, and I thank Him. Jesus, by Your stripes my eyes were healed. God, I thank You for sending Your word and healing my eyes and delivering them from the destruction of nearsightedness and all these kinds of things. I know this works, okay? I don't need the manifestation to know it works. I know it works. So when it comes to healing, I can be praying for somebody else, cancer, say. You know, and here's Joe. Joe's been diagnosed with cancer. Well, I can intercede on behalf of Joe instead of, daily say, oh God, today, heal Joe. Oh God, please. Oh please, 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 please. Heal Joe, heal Joe, heal Joe. No, I can pray and I can say, Father, I lift Joe up again to You today. And Father, the doctors still say he has cancer, but God, I call him healed. And Father, I'm asking that even this day, healing power manifest in his body. And Jesus, I thank You that by Your stripes Joe was healed. Jesus, I call You Joe's healer. Jesus, I thank You that You're the Word of God and God sent You His Word to heal Joe and deliver him from all his destruction. You follow what I'm saying? So I begin to intercede on Joe's behalf like that. So yeah, I'm asking, but I'm also declaring prosperity. I mean, you need a house? Intercede on behalf of your house. You know somebody in your church or a friend, whatever, needs a house? Intercede on behalf of them for this house. This is how you do it. You begin declaring God's will And here's the thing about it. It's not just about interceding for Christians. It's also for lost people. It's also for lost people. You begin interceding, you know, a lost person has something going on. You begin interceding on their behalf and you tell them, you know what, I'm going to be praying for you. And here's how I'm going to be praying. I'm going to pray that God move in your life, and I'm going to, you know, declare God's word over your life, and so on and so forth. You don't think that's going to have an impression when it comes to pass? They may dismiss it. And they may say, oh, well, you know, that's just a coincidence. You go back to God and say, God, you and I both know this was not a coincidence. Wake them up in the middle of the night, God, and tell them. Intercede that they would understand that it wasn't just a coincidence. Now let's talk about how this all fits in with regard to in a spiritual warfare. In all cases where God's will is not manifesting, there is some degree of demonic activity. Some people might not agree with that, but let's explain. This does not mean that people involved are demon-possessed. Well, it could mean that, okay? But rarely. That's not what we're talking about here. Devils may be actively involved in holding back the manifestation of God's will. Now, let's talk about this for just a moment. How could they actively be involved in holding back the manifestation of God's will? Well, okay, let's create a scenario. Here is Mr. Rich Man. And God wants Mr. Rich Man to give $1 million to Grace Ministries Bible College. Hallelujah. Well, Mr. Rich Man is over here, and, you know, he's made a decision. I'm going to give away $1 million. Now, lest you think things like this can happen, just read the papers and find out about the tens of millions that guys like Bill Gates have given away, and that others have given away to all these other foundations and all this other, you know, some of it very ungodly stuff. So it's out there, okay? But it needs to be diverted this direction. So, Mr. Richman decides, I'm going to give away $1 million. And he's talking to his financial advisor, to his wife, whatever. You know, I want to give away $1 million. But where should we give it away? God says, I want you to give it to Grace Ministries Bible College. But these devils are trying to interfere with this money being released into the Bible College. So they start acting in Rich Man's life, somehow trying to speak into his life to convince him he needs to give it to Planned Parenthood, or maybe the ACLU, or maybe, you know, this group or that group. And he's thinking, maybe I should do that. Well, as we intercede, Father, I say in the name of Jesus that every person who's supposed to give in to Grace Ministries Bible College is giving. I don't care who they are, Father. Every person that is supposed to give into this ministry is giving into this ministry, and they're giving what they're supposed to give. Father, born again or not, they are giving into this ministry because you supply all our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But nothing in Scripture says it has to come only through the body of Christ. So therefore, Father, I say it comes in through people, no matter who they are, no matter where they are on this planet, it's coming in, and I praise you for it, Father. Okay, now, that's just a very shortened example, but as I'm doing this, and because God wants Rich Man to give that $1 million, God's will is, Rich Man, put that $1 million in GMBC. The devils are saying, no, you can't hear God. No, no, give it over here, give it over there, support abortion, support, you know, gay rights, support this, you know, give that, give here, give. And God's saying, no, I want you to give. So here we're declaring. And what's happening is we're declaring God's word and God's will, and it's coming into that situation where these devils are trying to keep Rich Man from giving that $1 million to this ministry. Well, the more we keep interceding, the more we keep declaring, Rich Man, somehow, he sees an ad in the paper, or a nephew tells him about this wonderful college he's attending via correspondence. And Rich Man says, what? They're not charging you tuition. That's unheard of. Not only that, rich man uncle, but they don't charge for textbooks. What? Why, this is unheard of. I don't believe you. Are you sure? That's right, rich uncle. And not only that, but they send me tapes, and they don't charge me for that. Oh, get my nitro pills. I can't handle this. It's unbelievable. Are they doing this for everybody? Yes, rich uncle. They do it for everybody. And they've got students in third world countries. They're shipping things overseas. And rich uncle says, oh, my goodness. I know how much it costs to ship things overseas. And they're not charging? No, rich uncle. This is so wonderful. And rich uncle says, huh. Well, I sure don't understand all this religious stuff, but this is a good thing they're doing. Honey, get the checkbook. See, that's how these things can work. This isn't a fantasy thing. These things happen. Our intercession comes against whatever demonic forces are working to keep God's will from manifesting. Okay? Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, turn over there. Because see, these devils, somehow, when it comes to, you know, like the person who's refusing to accept Jesus, these devils are somehow working in their life to convince them that they don't need Jesus. They're lying to them. The person that doesn't believe in the present day operation of the gifts of the Spirit, these devils are working through those lies to keep these people deceived. And again, it doesn't mean that the preachers are demon-possessed or anything like that. But what it means, hey, listen, if you produce a lie, you've given Satan something to work with. If you produce truth, you're giving God something to work with. What did Jesus say about the devil? He's the father of lies. So if I, now think of it this way, he's the father of lies. If I give birth to a lie, he now has a child to raise. If I give birth, that's heavy, isn't it? You can quote me if you want, hallelujah. If I give birth to the truth, God now has a child to work with. Well, I just thought of that. That's good stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Now, these devils, once you give them something to work with, man, they'll take it to the limit. And they'll use it as best as they possibly can. Well, we intercede in the spiritual warfare aspect of this with God's Word. Now look here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The more that we intercede with God's Word, the more we are attacking devils. The more we attack, the more they have to yield. And eventually, strongholds are torn down. So it's literally, and this is the most incredible thing, I can sit down in a chair, rocking chair. Last week this was the mercy seat, remember that? Now it's the seat of intercession, hallelujah. So here I am, and I'm interceding. Father, I just thank you. By Jesus' stripes, Susie's healed. Father, I thank you. By Jesus' stripes, this affliction leaves her body. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name, by Jesus' stripes, Susie's healed. Susie, I call you healed because Jesus' stripes has healed you. God sent His Word and healed you. Now, Susie's 500 miles away, but I'm interceding on her behalf. And I just keep declaring God's will, keep declaring God's Word over her life. Now, this can also be in the realm of the deception. If Susie doesn't believe in the present-day operation, Father, the eyes of her understanding are open. She understands about the gifts. She wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm speaking God's Word. I'm speaking His will. And all these devils that are out there that have been working with the lies that have been produced in Susie's life, it's like she may be 500 miles away from me, but the sword of the Spirit, God's Word, has produced a 500-mile-long sword. And it's hacking away at this stuff. It's like one of those old Errol Flynn movies, you know, the swashbucklers. I'm spiritually swashbuckling against demonic powers with the Word of God. And I win. That's my sword is bigger than theirs. My sword is sharper, pointier, more powerful. It's empowered with the Holy Ghost. My sword wins. But, you know, some of those sword fights in the movies last a whole lot longer than others. sometimes we have to sword fight and we have to swashbuckle a whole lot longer. But I'll win. I will win. It doesn't mean that Susie's going to make the right choice when it comes to like a decision she has to make. But what it means is she's going to come to the point of knowing what she should decide. And I decide, take a break.